Unleavened Bread Ministries presents Hidden Manna for the End Time with your host, David Eales.
Hello, friends. This is David Eales. God bless you and thank you for joining us. We have some very important revelations to share with you that were shared with me over the last 30-something years, sometimes in word of knowledge or word of wisdom. They are very, I'll say, untraditional, but you should expect that in these days. The traditions of men have been making of no effect the Word of God. And these revelations will help you to cooperate with God in the time to come in manifesting His Son in you and in understanding the things that are going on around you and the great purpose that God has for these end times. May God give you eyes to see and ears to hear, so that these will be a great blessing unto you. Don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. You may hear some things here that are not fitting with your traditions. God bless you.
Part 33, Questions and Answers.
Am I saying there is going to be no rapture of the church as is traditionally taught? No, I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying that that before the rapture, there has to be the epiphany. The Lord is coming for a spotless, blemishless bride. That's going to take some doing. If you're looking at the church today, you know that there's no such creature on the horizon. And that's why He's raising up this tribulation, and that's why there's going to be a great revival, greater than the world has ever seen, all the way around the world, to raise up this bride. No, I believe that the rapture is going to happen physically. But I also believe that there's going to be epiphany. You know, epiphany is, of course, the shining forth of Christ from His body. He came to be manifested in His body. And He's going to finish that job. He's going to prove the power of His salvation. You need to go back and get the tapes of the conferences about the man-child and his ministry. That's shocking, the manifestation of the Lord. It says, please give an example of false grace that is being taught from the pulpit. Well, the way taught grace is being taught now is it's the forgiveness of God. God forgives no matter what, everything, you know. But by grace have you been saved through faith, and that's not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. Grace saves from sin. Grace saves and grace delivers. Grace doesn't just forgive. Forgiveness is good. When you need forgiveness, you got to have forgiveness. But grace goes far beyond forgiveness. Some people, all they want is forgiveness because they don't want to change. Right? But grace doesn't just stop with forgiveness. And grace is not given to everybody who claims to be Christian. You know, for instance, according to some people's idea of grace, the blood of Jesus covers all of your sin and God sees you through the blood, and no matter how much of a sinner you are, God doesn't see that. There's some lies in that. First of all, the Bible says in Hebrews 10 and 26, if we sin willfully, after we receive a knowledge of the truth, there remains no sacrifice for sins, but a certain, fearful expectation of judgment which shall devour the adversaries. See, willful disobedience does not entitle you to Jesus bearing the penalty for your sin. Now, if you repent, He will forgive you, but that doesn't mean you're going to get out from under the penalty. I'll give you an example. David sinned willfully with Bathsheba. And the prophet told him, when he repented, he said, yea, and the Lord hath put away thy sin, but judgment will not cease from your house. So in other words, because it was a willful disobedience, God gave him grace as far as forgiveness, but He didn't give him grace as far as bearing the penalty for his sin. Jesus bore the penalty for our sin. He became cursed for us. He bore the curse. He bore the sickness. He bore all the penalty for sin. But He doesn't bear the penalty for sin that's willfully disobedient, because you're sinning with your will. It's a premeditated sin. There is no grace that covers that. In the Old Testament, they called it sinning with a high hand.
And whosoever sinneth with a high hand shall be cut off from among the people, the Bible says. Am I saying that if you sin willfully, you're eternally lost? No. I'm saying that you're going to have to pay a penalty for that. The Bible says, you know, as an example, Matthew 18 and 34, he said, if you don't forgive everyone your brother from your heart, my Father will turn you over to the tormentors until you pay what was due. Did you know that we have to pay for some sins? We have to pay for some sins because some sins are not paid for by Jesus. It says, there remaineth no more a sacrifice for sin, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment. What does that mean? I mean, you're going to pay for that sin. That's what it means. So this greasy grace that's being taught nowadays that Jesus sees everything through the blood of Jesus, that's not true. That's a lie. If you are truly repentant, like Paul was in Hebrews chapter 7, listen to what Paul said. He said, the good that I would do, I do not. And the evil which I would not, that I do. Who will deliver me from the body of this death? He was crying out to God. He hated the sin. There was no will involved in his sin whatsoever. He had no, it was not a willful disobedience. He said, the good that I would do, I will to do, I do not. And the evil which I will not to do, that I do. And God help me. And then he said, he got a revelation. Oh, thank God through Jesus Christ. See, this was not a man who was sinning with his will, and he had God's forgiveness. He said, since the evil which I would not that I do, it's no more I that do it, but the sin which dwelleth in me. Did you get that? Since I will not to do this sin, I desire earnestly not to do this sin, then God is saying, it's no more him that does it, but it's the sin that dwells in him. God begins to separate you from your sin when your will is against the sin. When you hate that sin and your will is against it, even before you get rid of it, he gets on your side against the sin. And he says, it's not you anymore, it's that sin dwelling in. I'm going to take care of that. And he is too. Well, this false grace is being preached, you know, it puts people in heaven that are never going to see it. That's what I hate about it. It's a lie. They turn the grace of God into lasciviousness, Jews said. What is that? They turn the grace of God a license into do what they want to do. Lasciviousness. It gives them the ability to get away with murder, right? Let me see if I can find another one here. If the Judas body of Christians is the son of perdition, does he belong to Mystery Babylon or is he the beast? Well, the beast in the church is Babylon. The beast manifested in the people of God in the church, that is Babylon. These are people that are living in Babylon. They haven't come to true Christianity yet. Hopefully this restoration that will come will restore them. But we already know from the types and shadows that there's going to be a great falling away and a lot are not going to be restored. At the same time as there was a great revival in the book of Acts, there was a great falling away. At the same time, they went side by side. And that's what's coming in the last 3.5 years and the first 3.5 years of tribulation. There's going to come a great revival. But the revival is going to make people responsible because God's going to confirm the truth. God's going to offer grace that the world hadn't seen in 2,000 years, offer grace to deliver, offer grace to heal, offer grace to deliver from the curse of sin. And the people that deny it because of their pride or their prejudice or their hatred for the full gospel, there's a big hatred for the full gospel out there, these people are going to end up being reprobated. See, the Bible says if we sin willfully after we receive a knowledge of the truth. The more knowledge you get, the more responsible you are. And when God starts holding you responsible, that's rough. Even those Pharisees were not being held responsible until Jesus came and told them the truth. And then he said, now you have no excuse for your sins. Now God is going to give a great outpouring of the truth in the tribulation period. The last 7 days that the people of God were in Egypt would call the Feast of Unleavened Bread. When Jesus came, what did he preach? Unleavened bread. It was pure Word of God. And he said, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees. That's the religious leaders and their stuff, see. So he shared the unleavened bread. He started it. And his disciples continued on sharing the unleavened bread. The greatest anointing of revelation and truth is going to happen in the tribulation period. The greatest. But that has power to save and it has power to condemn. Because it's going to make people responsible. They're going to hear such truths that have been hidden from the foundation of the world. It's going to make them responsible. What is the UN going to do midway through the 70th week that causes greater tribulation for the last 3.5 years? Well, I'm glad you said UN because people don't realize that the dragon and the beast, the dragon of the first 3.5 years and the beast of the second 3.5 years are actually the UN. The UN is going to be manifested as the dragon. When the covenant starts, it's going to be manifested as a dragon. And of course, Satan from the pit inhabits this dragon. But in the middle of the tribulation, when they give authority to the 10 kingdoms, that's also the time when the mark goes forth and the image of the beast happens and the son of perdition falls away. And it's also the time when the disciples go forth with the anointing of the Holy Spirit and the truths of God. And the greatest tribulation is going to come upon them because they're sharing the testimony of Jesus, which is the spirit of prophecy. You remember, the reason that they were killed is because of the testimony of Jesus, which is the spirit of prophecy. What angered the Pharisees was that Jesus came along, God was confirming the word that was coming through Jesus with signs and wonders, and they could see their little kingdom and their prestige sliding down the drain. And they had to take care of Jesus and get him out of the way. Same thing with the disciples. And this time, it's going to be the leaders of apostate Christianity that are going to make war on the son, on the man-child and the two witnesses. Because of the truth that's coming out of their mouth, they're going to anger the people who live according to the letter. Because they're going to have the Spirit, which is a testimony of prophecy. Can a person having God written on their forehead have a physical image on their right hand? A physical image on the right hand. Well, I don't have any revelation about a physical image on the right hand. I can't say what I don't know and what God hadn't told me. You know, I don't really believe in any physical image on the right hand. That's where I am, okay? Pray for me if I'm wrong. But I don't believe in any physical image on the right hand. Where are we, or how close are we to the 7 years? Do you believe? What that means, I don't know. I think we're very close to the 7 years. I think we're very close to the 7 years. I think some things have to happen before the 7 years can start. And I've believed that for some time. I'll give you a reason why I believe that. America just conquered Babylon. It just became officially the king of Babylon. Now, when Nebuchadnezzar became the king of Babylon, he set about to conquer the Middle East. You know, he conquered Syria. He conquered Jordan. He conquered Iran. He conquered Lebanon. And he conquered Israel. And he conquered parts of Egypt. I have a suspicion, like most of you, that America is the king of Babylon. And now we've got a sign that they are the king of Babylon because they officially, is a sign, I think, conquered Babylon, which is Iraq. Suppose that America is following right down the steps of Babylon. And that God is going to use them to bring the same nations that Babylon, Isaiah 25 talks about it, the same nations that Babylon conquered under submission. Suppose America does that. I have a suspicion that's what's going to happen, as America is not through conquering the Middle East. They're not through chasing down terrorists, and they're going to chase them from nation to nation, and they're going to wreak havoc on them at the same time. It's going to come the other way too, so we can have a police state, so we can bring the Christians into bondage. See, God's working through all of it. God's working through all of it. Well, here's the thing. After Babylon conquered the Middle East, those nations that we're talking about, the very ones that have a lot of terrorists in them right now, after Babylon conquered them, they then brought them, held them in bondage for 70 years. 70 years. You know, God uses abbreviations in the Bible. He uses them forward and He uses them backwards. I believe that 70 years is 7 years. And I believe America is not about to be conquered, because that harlot, the secular harlot, is riding on the back of the beast and is going to ride on the back of that beast all the way through the tribulation period. You know, God said about Babylon that He was going to bring all nations under her, and the nation that didn't submit to her, He was going to destroy by her. Boy, have we been seeing that happen. Anybody that hadn't submitted to America gets destroyed. You know, America is Babylon. When they get through doing what they're doing, and I'm not saying they're all ever going to be totally successful, but they are going to stir up a hornet's nest that'll bring great persecution against and trouble against America. But in some regards, I believe they're going to bring these people under submission. When they get through doing that, they're going to keep them under submission for 7 years, because that harlot rides that beast through that tribulation period. Now, what happened after the 70 years? All the nations that Babylon kept in captivity joined together to destroy her. And that's what's going to happen. So I believe that what we've got is just a few years left here, and I believe America's going to still be doing their thing over there. And when they get through, those nations are going to turn against her. Because I think we can see in Jeremiah 25 and Jeremiah 27 the story of America conquering these people. That's all in God's plan. It's all in God's plan. You know, the Lord, some of you probably wonder, and I know a lot of people did wonder, why all these prophecies that we received in the end of 99 did not come to pass as far as God destroying America. Well, I'll tell you why they didn't come to pass, because God told me back in 1996 that they were not going to come to pass. But I didn't realize it. He gave me a vision in 1996, which I understood in 1998. And I saw America as Nineveh. You know, the faithful prophets have gone forth and they've told America, you're going to be destroyed. In 40 days, Nineveh is going to be destroyed. Now, that wasn't a false prophecy, was it? That was a true prophecy from God. And faithful prophets have told America this, you know, all the way up till the end of 99, they were saying that. And suddenly nothing happened in the time frame that everybody figured it would happen. But I actually knew in 1998 it wasn't going to happen, because the Lord showed me. The Lord took me in a vision, and I was standing over the Gulf of Mexico, and I saw the United States stretched out before me, in front of me, in this vision. And I looked up above the United States, and I saw this veil stretched over the United States, a great big white veil stretched over the United States. And I looked up above the veil, and there was a great big bomb up there. I mean, the bomb was almost as big as the United States. God was threatening. And the bomb was tied up there with a bow string at the top of it, just a string tied in a bow. That's when you're living on the edge, right? Well, when I saw that, I looked back. Of course, the people of America couldn't see it because there was a veil. They didn't know there was judgment up there. But when I looked back down at America, America turned into what looked like an above-ground swimming pool. You know, above-ground swimming pool's got a little border around it? Well, it had this border around it. And the water was on the inside, and there were fish swimming everywhere, all throughout America. Okay? Well, you know, we're fishers of men. When I saw that, I felt something in my hand. I turned and I had a fishing pole in my hand. And it was like the Lord was saying, look, if you catch them from your perspective, they'll be able to see this bomb, you see. And when I received that in 1996, I did not realize that America was Nineveh. But in 1998, the Lord had blocked something in my mind. Because, I mean, before 1996, I had researched Nineveh and discovered that the word Nineveh was written in an ideographically form of a fish inside an enclosure. That's how Nineveh was written. And that's what Nineveh means, a fish enclosure. A fish enclosure. America, what I saw was America as Nineveh. Well, what that meant was that God was going to delay judgment on America. See, Nineveh wasn't a delete, it was a delay. Right? Why? Why did Jonah not want God to have mercy on Nineveh? Because at least three prophets that I found of that lived in his day in the Bible had already pronounced judgment on Nineveh. Well, excuse me, had already pronounced judgment on the people of God, saying that Nineveh, at the head of the Assyrian Empire, was going to conquer them. Jonah knew that if Nineveh lived, she was going to conquer the people of God. And you know what's going to happen? God spared America to conquer the people of God. Nineveh was not destroyed until after she conquered Israel. Then she was destroyed. See, we prayed, God spare America, God spare America. And God heard our prayer. He spared America. But what few realize is, what's going to happen now? Because we need somebody to take us to the cross, and America is going to do it. America's got to now conquer the people of God. They're going to do it. They're going to conquer the people of God. It's not the Jews now. It's the Christians. See, God is lockstep with this Bible. Everything that has been will be. And America is Nineveh. And God spared her for the purpose of bringing the people of God into bondage, persecution, which of course always makes great Christians for some reason. For some reason we don't listen very good unless we have to go through that, you know. Let favor be showed to the wicked, they will not learn righteousness. They'll deal wrongfully in the land of the wicked. In the way of thy judgments, O Lord, have we waited for thee. So God's going to bring his people to the cross. And at the end of that time, after the people of God have been persecuted and killed by the harlot, then God is going to draw the beast to make war and kill the harlot. See, the beast is, of course, at that time, those nations that have been brought into captivity by America. They're all going to gang up on her. You know, America can go out and make war with this and go out and make war with this. And sooner or later, they're going to get smart enough to say, hey, if we get our heads together, we can whip them. And that's what's going to happen. So, when I got that revelation, in 1998 clear, and then the Lord confirmed it with people in our assembly. There was one lady said she saw a bomb falling over the Navy base there in Pensacola, and the bomb came down about that far off the ground, just stopped. It's like God stopped the judgment. And then other people there started having the same thing, visions and dreams about it. So what I did, first of all, here's what the Lord told me in 1998, the end of 1998. He said, when he told me this, he revealed this to me. He said, now don't tell anybody. Anybody but the close people around me. I told the close people around me. I didn't tell anybody else. You know what? God always knew he was going to delay. God always knew he was going to delay on Nineveh. Because the other prophets had already said Nineveh was going to conquer the people of God. God knew he was going to delay. But he used your prayers to do it. He used the prayers of the people of God who cried out. There's going to come a time when the people of God are not going to be crying out to spare America, but to save their brethren. The souls underneath the altar are going to be crying out for God to save their brethren from the beast on this earth. And God's going to send judgment on America. You know why he's going to send judgment on America? Because no Christian is going to be praying for God to spare America anymore. You know, God really does honor his word. When you pray and you pray by faith, he honors his word. But there's going to come a time when the people of God are not going to pray that anymore. And he's going to bring judgment on America for the sake of his people. There's going to come a time when the beast comes to destroy this harlot, like Revelation says, that harlot has been riding that beast all the way through the tribulation. There's going to come a time when God's people are going to welcome that beast as liberators. I think I heard another prophet say that, a prophet that came through the prophecy club. I thought, yeah, that's right. That's it. Well, I think we've gone through most of them. Let's see here. We that are alive and remain, 1 Thessalonians 4:16-17, will be caught up together with them in the clouds. My explanation for that is it has nothing to do with the pre-tribulation rapture, because it doesn't say anything about a pre-tribulation rapture there. It's talking about the resurrection of the dead. The dead in Christ shall rise first, then we that are alive and remain. It's talking about the time of the resurrection of the dead. And the resurrection of the dead is at the very end of the tribulation period. And it has to be, because there's only one resurrection of the dead, 1 Corinthians 15:23. There's only one resurrection of the righteous dead. Let me clarify that. And since there is only one resurrection of the righteous dead, and we know that this great cloud of witnesses is going through the end of the tribulation period, witnessing for Jesus and dying, the resurrection of the dead has to be the very, very last thing that happens. And that's what he's talking about in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. The very last thing. The last enemy that shall be conquered is death. The very last enemy. Why is that? The only way you can include all the people of God who die, if there's only one resurrection, is that resurrection has to be on the last day. And that's what Jesus said. I will raise him up at the last day. At the last day. John chapter 6. He said it twice in John chapter 6. So, what most people are claiming that this is a pre-tribulation rapture and resurrection of the dead. That can't happen. It's not possible. There is only one resurrection of the dead. It has to come at the very end. If not, all the people who die during the tribulation period will never get resurrected. That's simple. That's real simple. They're not thinking too good, okay? Well, we have gone through the cards. Oh, excuse me. Isn't becoming a 501c3 making a covenant with the state? Well, it certainly is. It certainly is. Because they get to control you. They get to tell you what you preach. I have an awesome article on my site about that. Very good. I haven't studied it that much, but I know that 30 years ago, when I started in the ministry, God told me, don't touch it, and I didn't even know why. I found out later why He told me that. I had people that wanted to ordain me into their organization, and God said, don't do it. You don't need that. And so I turned it down. And I turned that down too. And as the more I understood it, the more I realized, yeah, boy, that is really a covenant with the beast. You are giving them an opportunity to rule you and bribe you. The people that don't come out of that, they're going to have great reason to make the covenant, I think. So I think people ought to stay far, far away from that and come out from among them and be separate.
This series by David Eales will be continued on our next broadcast. Thank you for tuning in. For more information and materials, go to www.americaslastdays.com.